Guys, to all the men who are single this weekend because your ladies are at the ladies' camp, I hope you've been enjoying yourselves in their absence. Russ, was that an amen from you? You single, okay. So, but from what I'm told, the ladies are having a fantastic time out at Kaiser's Beach. They were blessed with wonderful weather yesterday, and they've been enjoying themselves. So we can't wait to hear all the news next week. Then also greetings from my dad. My dad's the guy who normally shows you where to sit on a Sunday, but he had an operation this past week on Thursday. He's recovering at home. He's doing very well, and no doubt he'll be back in all of his glory next Sunday to show you where to sit again. But if we can think of him, he'd love to be here this morning, but he's making a good recovery, and I'm sure he'll be back next week. Just to those who've ordered the Top 10 Series CDs, Jeanette's made a whole bunch of sets this past week, so they are available after the service. Jeanette always waits at the door there, so you can go and collect them from her. And thank you to Jeanette for doing such a wonderful job with that. All right, if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, Ecclesiastes might not be a book that's familiar to you, so you find it just after Psalms and Proverbs. It's part of the wisdom literature. So if you go to the middle of the Bible, find Psalms, and work your way towards the New Testament, you'll find Ecclesiastes written by Solomon, King Solomon. And what I love about Ecclesiastes is it's a very practical book. It gives us nuggets of wisdom, practical advice for everyday living. And so we're going to tackle some of those nuggets this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I think we all know that rumor has it that cats get how many lives? Correct, 9 lives. Human beings get 1. You're not a cat, make no mistake about it. You're a human being. You get 1 chance to live. And so the key is to maximize your life, not to waste it chasing the wind, but to maximize your days for the glory of God. And Solomon gives us some nuggets of wisdom as to how we can maximize our days on the earth. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You're going to love these verses. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 14. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, "Why were the old days better than these?" For it is not wise to ask such a question. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what has been made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Wow, just a little taste of some of Solomon's advice in the book of Ecclesiastes. So this morning, in the time we've got, I want to give you 5 or 6 nuggets of wisdom. And nugget number 1 would be this: aim to do the right thing every single day. Because verse 1 tells us a good name, and that speaks of character or reputation, a good name is better than fine perfume. Now, ladies, I know you love your perfume. In fact, I can smell some of you from here. You smell wonderful. And especially if you're single, I can recommend a good perfume to help the cause. I'll still say one of the best gifts I ever bought my wife, Paula. One of the best gifts was a bottle of Tommy Girl. Or was it Tommy Boy? I can't think of it. Tommy Girl or Tommy Boy perfume from Dubai. I bought it in US dollars as a special gift. That was the most amazing perfume because I could smell Paula before I could see her. And I tell you, when I smelled that perfume, it did something to me. It was an amazing perfume. And the best part was, it lasted all of 15 years. It was great perfume. And so what Solomon says is your reputation, your name, your character, in a sense, goes before you like a fine perfume. When people think about you, when your name is mentioned in company, what comes to their mind? What do they think about you in terms of character and reputation? This is what Solomon's speaking about. If I had to mention a name, for example, to you this morning, Pastor George Dennison, who's now in his 90s. He's living as a frail elderly man in the Fairlands old age home. But if I mention Pastor George's name to those who know him, his reputation over many years goes before him like a fine perfume. What comes to your mind? Humility. Integrity, faithfulness, perseverance, kindness over a lifetime. His reputation has been built over decades of faithful service to Jesus and to people. And so what's important to realize is a good name is built slowly. It can be lost quickly, mind you, very quickly. But a good name is built slowly over a period of time. It's like somebody building a wall. They build that wall one brick at a time. One brick at a time. And you build your reputation through doing the right thing every single day. Building, building, building into your life for the glory of God. Nugget number one. Nugget number two is this. Live every day with that day in mind. Look what Solomon says in verse 2. He says, "For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart." In other words, Solomon's saying all of us have an inescapable appointment with death. It's not like the dentist or the doctor where you can at the last moment cancel and say, "I'll rather come tomorrow or next week." Death doesn't offer you that luxury. Your appointment with death will come to you whether you're ready or not. And I know, having been a pastor here for 4.5 years, I've stood behind this pulpit almost every single week over 4.5 years, burying somebody, different ages, different generations. Death offers no warning. It comes for you ready or not. And the average person, you may like to realize this, the average person lives for plus minus 27,000 days. So try and work that out in years. That would equal what, Lenny? Oh, you don't know. Okay. That would equal plus minus 73 years. And you know, when you're a child, those 27,000 days roll out like an eternity before you. I mean, when you're a child, the holidays and days go by, they seem so long. But the older you get, I don't know if you're like me, but the quicker those days seem to vanish. And before you know it, Christmas rolls around again and your birthday rolls around again. By the way, mine's tomorrow for those who may have forgotten. But before you know it, you've reached 45. I'm now middle-aged. And so the key is to maximize those days and not to waste them. The best advice I ever got was from my mentor. He was the guy who did my induction service when I first became a pastor here. His name is the Reverend Peter Holness, and he wrote this in one of my Bibles. He said, "Mark, the best advice I can give you is define your life forward and then live it backwards." Let me explain to you what he meant by that. Imagine you driving a vehicle. In that vehicle, you've got a GPS tracking system or direction system. What you do with the GPS is you type into the GPS your final destination. I want to go from Ganubi to Port Alfred. I type Port Alfred into the GPS, and then all I do is I follow the navigation. I follow the instructions to get me to that ultimate final destination. And so the principle that Peter was trying to teach us is you can apply that to your spiritual life as well. At the end of your journey on this planet, when those 27,000 days are up, what kind of person do you want to be on that day? What kind of husband or wife do you dream about being? What kind of reputation would you like to have at the end of your life? When somebody gives a tribute to you, when somebody speaks about you, what would you like them to say? What legacy would you like to leave for your children, your grandchildren, and future generations? Have a picture in mind of what you want to become, and then begin to live today in the light of that picture. What a beautiful way to live. I've got a dream for my life. I'm aiming for something, and every decision I make today, I make in the light of that goal. It begins to change everyday living. Every day becomes a day of new significance because I'm living today in the light of that day. That day when I stand before Jesus Christ face to face and He says, Mark, I'd like you to give an account of your life. None of us want to be embarrassed. None of us want to be ashamed on that day. And so today I make decisions and I live my life both in public and private in the light of that great day when I stand before Jesus. Solomon says that's what the wise man does. Wisdom nugget number 3. And this is a very powerful piece of advice that Solomon gives us. He says, accept that disappointments will form part of the journey. Verse 3, frustration is better than laughter because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. Folk, we all know, we've been around long enough to know that not everything in life always goes according to plan. For those of us who were youngsters in the 1980s, on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, we watched the A-Team with Hannibal and all those guys. Some of you will remember those days. None of us missed the A-Team. And Hannibal's most famous line at the end of the show was, I love it when a plan comes together. I love it when a plan comes together. But unfortunately in life, we all know that our best laid plans don't always come together. Many of you along the journey up to this point in time have experienced great disappointment. Some of you have disappointed yourselves. You've let yourselves down. Other people have experienced hurt that others have given or inflicted upon you. Betrayed by a close friend, a sudden divorce, the diagnosis of a serious illness. Not everything in life goes according to plan. And Solomon says the wise person accepts that. The wise person learns from those disappointments, whereas the foolish person, Solomon says, in that moment of disappointment, runs to the house of pleasure. Now, the house of pleasure in Ganubi can represent many different things. The house of pleasure for some people might represent Desi's. If you live in Beacon Bay, the house of pleasure might represent Monty's. It might represent Preston's. Ho, 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 to the bottle I go, to down my, I can't think how it goes, but you know how. That's the one Lenny taught me a while ago. Or for you, it might be a porn site or... But for you, when disappointment comes across your path, your immediate reaction is not running to Jesus, but running to the house of pleasure. And what you discover is that house of pleasure offers you comfort for that moment, but it leads to longer-term bondage. Longer-term bondage. It's a false illusion. It offers you water, but when you get there, those water systems are broken. And the more you drink, the emptier you feel. Some of you have been there. And Solomon says, the wise man, when disappointment manifests itself, when people let you down, when life lets you down, when circumstances come against you, don't run away from God. Don't get bitter and angry and twisted. Learn from that and move forward. We're living in a day where social media adds to the pressure of maintaining the facade that all is well. Folk, this is a very, very relevant thing in our generation. On social media, everybody else's life looks perfect. Great pictures, happy marriages, happy families, happy life. But often behind that facade is not what it appears to be. It's brokenness. And often you can look at that social media post and think to yourself, wow, my life doesn't measure up. Doesn't measure up. It's all a facade. That's why C.S. Lewis said this. And these words resonate with me so powerfully. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience. But he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You see, left to our own devices, many of us wouldn't follow Jesus. It takes a crisis, it takes a disappointment to wake us up to our need for God. I know, I think back in my life, and my mom's here, she can vouch for this. Had it not been for a very difficult road I walked as a young man, I would never be a pastor today. I would never have served God as a missionary overseas. God used that time I wish had never happened to me. Difficult time in my life, but he used it to wake me up and to get me to where he needed me to be. And many of you can say, Mark, that's my story as well. God used something, a crisis, a disappointment in my life to wake me up and to realign my life with the purposes of God. Because left to my own devices, I was heading in a different direction. Solomon says, accept the disappointment and pain form part of the journey. Nugget number four. This is a wonderful, wonderful one. Nugget number four, keep one ear open and one ear closed. Verse 5. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. You see, folk, none of us have it all together. All of us from time to time need wise advice and wise counsel, but the key is to know who to listen to, who to take advice from. Because Solomon says that both the wise and the foolish are prepared to offer you advice. Both the wise and the foolish are prepared to say, do this, or I recommend this, or here's a plan of action. But not all advice is good advice. And so the trick is to open your ears to the wise person and to close your ears to the person offering foolish advice. Maybe that's why God gave us two ears, to keep one open to the wisdom and one open to, and one closed to the folly. I don't know about you, but if I think about my life, I'm so grateful to God for people like Peter Holness. I'm so grateful to God for friends who are older than me, who are wiser than me. I've never made an important life decision in my life on any level, including marrying Paula, including coming to pastor this church. Not one single life decision have I ever made without consulting my mentors and friends that are wise. I've opened my ears to their wisdom. I've listened to their advice. At the same time, I've closed my ears to folly. And so my challenge to you this morning is, who are you listening to? Who are you receiving advice from? Because not all advice is good advice. Have you surrounded yourself with wise people, trusted mentors, who can speak life and direction and encouragement into your context? Or are you surrounded by people who sing that song of folly? They offer you advice, but it's advice that leads you to death and not to life. Keep one ear open to the words of the wise, and close your ear to folly and to foolish advice. Here's a great one, number five. Solomon says that shortcuts always lead to dead ends. Verse 7, extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Now, have you ever driven somewhere and you've tried to take a shortcut, or you've ignored the lady's voice on the GPS? You know that voice, that lady's voice? And you end up in a completely different direction or a dead end. You didn't get to where you wanted to go because you ignored the advice of the GPS lady or you tried to take a shortcut. It's happened to me on multiple occasions. And for us guys, we're proud, very proud when we're driving. When our wife tells us we've taken a wrong turn, there's no way we're listening to that. We just keep going. And by some hook or by crook, we'll find a way to get there. But Solomon says shortcuts lead to dead ends. You see, sometimes it's very easy to shortcut the process. We've got a goal in mind, but to get to that goal sometimes seems like hard work. Sometimes seems like sweat and toil and efforts involved. And so we take the bribe, not literally a bribe, but you find a shortcut to get to where you want to go. And we all know there are no shortcuts to glory. Because the kingdom of God works on the currency of endurance and perseverance. If you're going to make it as a Christian for the long term, you're going to need to learn what it means to persevere and have great, great endurance. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Endurance is the currency of the Christian life. You see, often we can make the mistake, and I've done it as well, is you look at somebody you admire. Maybe somebody who's stronger spiritually than you, or someone who's achieved success in business. And you see the end result of their life, and you admire that, but you've got no idea of the road they've walked to get there. You've got no idea of the sacrifices they've made along the way. You've got no idea of the commitment they've had over many years to that cause. The hard work, the effort, the sweat. There are no shortcuts to glory, my friend. There's not one person you admire from a spiritual perspective who's got there quickly. They've endured, they've persevered, they've been committed over many, many years, and now we admire the fruit of that endurance. I love the words of Thomas Edison. He was the guy who invented the light bulb. Do you know that Thomas Edison tried and failed 10,000 times before he got one light bulb to work? Now somebody said to him, "Thomas, how did it feel to fail 10,000 times? How humiliating." He said, "I didn't fail 10,000 times. He said, "I just found 10,000 ways on not to make a light bulb work." Perseverance. Now, I challenge you, how many of you would have given up after attempt number 100? I can't do it. And that applies to the Christian faith as well. When you fail, and I say the word when because you will, when you blow it, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. That's not the end. Your sin may be big, but the grace of God is bigger. Get up and have another go. Fix your eyes on Jesus and keep moving forward. Winston Churchill. Who doesn't love old Winston Churchill? Do you know that Winston Churchill failed a grade at primary school? Failed. Standard 2. And somebody said to him, "Mr. Churchill, so how did it feel to fail a grade at primary school? Weren't you embarrassed?" He said, "Fail a grade?" He said, "I didn't fail a grade. I just got a second opportunity to get it right." And through that perseverance and through that endurance, he became Prime Minister of Britain. My friend, some of you have failed a grade. You failed a test that God gave you. It's not the end of the world. Don't live in that place of humiliation. Get up, fix your eyes on Jesus, receive His grace, and move forward. And move forward. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart." That's a life verse for me. I don't know about you, but for me, that's one of the verses on my fridge. Do not grow weary in living for Jesus. Don't get tired of doing it. For in due season, that means in God's time, not yours, you're going to reap if you don't give up. Some of you have given up too soon. Get back into the race. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. There's a glorious future in store for you. All right, let me try and sneak in one or two more nuggets. Would you like a couple more? Me too. Wisdom nugget number 5. It's like chicken nuggets from Kentucky. Nugget number 5. Am I number 6? Oh, I'm missing a great sermon. Let's make it number 6. You can't move forward by looking backward. There's some great advice for somebody this morning. You can't move forward while you're looking backwards. Verse 10. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. How many of you around the briar, around the fire, talk about the good old days? The good old days. The days when the preaching was good. The days when the hymns were sung. The days when this happened. We live in the good old days. Solomon says that's not wise. Not wise to live in the past. Not a wise thing to do at all. My mom taught me to drive when I was 18. It almost sent you to St. Mark's. I can vouch for that. It was a nerve-wracking experience for my mother. But the golden rule my mom taught me as she taught me to drive was, as you drive, don't look back and chat to those behind you. Don't talk to your sisters while you're driving. Don't look at the amazing waves at Nahoon Reef while you're driving. Keep your eyes looking forward. Because if you don't look forward, you're going to crash the car and damage yourself and potentially damage others. Friends, the same rule applies spiritually, Solomon says. Some of you are too focused on looking back. You're too focused on what happened yesterday or 10 years ago. You've forgotten to look forward. You can't change what happened yesterday or 10 years ago. For better or for worse, yesterday is gone, but you can make a difference tomorrow by living wisely. Remember Lot's wife in the book of Genesis? She walked away. She walked away like some of you have done from a sinful life. She left sin and wickedness behind her. But as she got a certain distance back, her heart began to say, maybe that sinful life wasn't so bad after all. And what did she do? She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. She died. Friends, the cost of looking back to where you've come from and pining after sin or pining after what you used to be is not a wise move. There's a high cost to pay for looking back. And that's why Jesus said, Luke 9:62, he said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Paul, Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. And this can apply, of course, to both good and bad things. You see, we can't keep speaking about the good old days. What God did in your life 10 years ago, my friend, is wonderful. But my question is, what is He doing in your life today? Some of you are living on yesterday's glories. From a church perspective, praise God for what He did in Ganubi Baptist Church 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But today is a new day. And the last words of a dying church are what? Pastor, we've never done it this way before. Well, it's time for change. It's a new world. There are new challenges, new opportunities. We need to move in step with God for His purposes for today. We learn from the past, but we move forward with Jesus into the future. On the flip side, my friends, I would encourage you this morning as I close. Not one single person in this building has lived a perfect life. All of us, including myself, have done things and said things we regret having done and said. If we could live our lives again, we wouldn't do those things or say those things that we did. But you know what? That's why Jesus Christ came. He lived the life you could never live. He died the death you should have died. And the best thing you can do this morning is to take that sin, those feelings of guilt and shame and failure, and lay them at the foot of the cross of Jesus and never take them back again. You see, some of us do that. We lay it down, but we're so quick to take up that shame and that guilt again. The devil loves to remind you about your past, what you did in days gone by. Jesus never reminds you about your past. He always points you to your future. Make peace with things you cannot change. Learn to forgive yourself, let go of sin, and follow Jesus. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Come now." This is God speaking to you this morning. Let us reason together. In other words, let's have a conversation. Let's talk together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There's good news for somebody. Though they be red like crimson, this morning, they shall be as wool. Don't allow your past to define you, my friend. I speak this to you this morning. I believe this. God has a glorious future for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says what? And this is Lenny's favorite verse. And I'm being, with all sincerity, this is your life verse. It's on his arm. Oh, it's in my mind. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Put your name into that verse this morning. "For I know the plans I have for Steve, says the Lord. For Anne Delaray, I know the plans I have for you." And guess what? Those plans are not to harm you. Not at all. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. What does that do to your heart? Doesn't it give you joy? The past is the past. You cannot change the past. But God says, "I've got a great future for you, Landa. Forget about what happened yesterday. Fix your eyes on Jesus and move forward." All right, I'm going to be naughty and sneak in one last one in 20 seconds. Can I? This is just too good to leave. It'll take me literally 60 seconds to finish it. No, don't time it. It's just roughly. The last one is, and this is actually a very powerful one, but it won't take me long. Make peace with the fact that God has two hands. He has the visible hand of miracles, and He has the invisible hand of providence. Verse 14, "When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other." And nobody said amen. We don't think about that verse very clearly, do we? You see, sometimes we get to experience the visible hand of miracles. In your context, God opens the Red Sea. He heals you of cancer. He gives you that breakthrough, and we rejoice. But sometimes things don't work out that way. Sometimes the person dies. Sometimes you don't get the job. Sometimes things don't work out. How do you respond when that happens? Well, we need to accept that invisible hand, that through the ups and downs of life, the mountains and the valleys, somehow in faith, we choose to believe that even when things are bad, God is still in control. God still loves us. He hasn't taken His eye off your life. It's just that this side of heaven, listen to this, my friend. This side of heaven is a finite speck of dust. Your perspective on life, the way you see things, will at best be very limited. Make peace with the fact that this side of heaven, there will be many things you will never understand. I cannot work out for the life of me why God allowed my three colleagues to be brutally murdered as missionaries in southeastern Turkey. I can't work it out. I can't work out why some babies I prayed for in Ganubi, I prayed for them to live, but they died. I can't work it out. But I don't lose sleep. I rest in the fact that my perspective is limited, that God's ways are higher than my ways. I make peace with the fact that this side of heaven, there simply will be some things I cannot understand. And I rest in that. I don't strive against it. Romans 8:28 says this, and I close with this verse. And we know that all things, what does all things include? All things. Everything you've been through in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, God can cause all things to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Doesn't that encourage you? With God, nothing you've ever been through, no matter how painful, no matter how hard, will ever be wasted. He will take even those things which had the potential to damage you or destroy you, and He can turn them around for your good and for His glory, because He is a great God. There you have it, your nuggets of wisdom. Aim to do the right thing every day. Live every day with that day in mind. Accept disappointments. They form part of the journey. Keep an open ear for wise counsel. Close your ear to foolish advice. Remember, shortcuts always lead to dead ends. Endurance is the key to the Christian life. And make peace with limited understanding this side of heaven. Nuggets of gold from King Solomon. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that your word, no matter which book we open to, doesn't matter if it's Genesis through to Revelation, every single book seems to contain just incredible wisdom and life-giving advice. Father, this morning we've touched on many important things. And Lord, I just pray we would bring our lives now before you in the light of those 6 points and just allow you, Lord, to realign us to make the changes we need to make in one or more of those areas. Lord, for some of us, we've lost our consistency. We do the right thing, but not often. And today you're calling us to do the right thing every day, to become men and women of character, of reputation, of a good name. Lord, we can avoid careless living, doing silly things and sinful things, through keeping that day in mind where we will stand before you and give an account of our lives. Lord, for those in the building this morning who've experienced disappointment, things haven't worked out the way they wanted them to, won't you encourage them this morning? May they become better and not bitter, not angry and twisted. And Father, I want to pray especially for those who've experienced deep hurt and pain. And Lord, maybe they sit there this morning and in their human finite capacity, they cannot work out why things have turned out the way they have. Father, won't you encourage them to remember that all things work together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And even those hard times, those roads they wish they'd never walked, Lord, you can turn even that around for their good and for your glory. So, Father, thank you. Help us to maximize the one life you've given us, not to waste it, but to use it for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' great name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Folk, thank you so much. What a great joy to bring that word to you.